You were born with individual strengths and a unique purpose. Don't let fears, false beliefs, or life's happenings diminish your influence. It's time to live and lead for impact. Host Kirsten Ross, expert of transformation, will help you defeat the drama and overcome the trauma that can stop you in your tracks. You'll gain focus, find confidence, and take bold action. Unleash passionate, purposeful you. Let's go.
Welcome to the Live and Lead for Impact podcast. I'm Kirsten Ross, your host, and this is episode number 135. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am really excited. I have an awesome guest. Her name is Sarah Wolfer, and she is the Girl Boss Sports. So Sarah Wolfer is the CEO and founder of Girl Boss Sports, a greater Seattle area soccer company that is devoted to female athletes and coaches. Sarah is also a professional tackle football player with the Seattle Majestics and is working on a book centered on women in leadership and sports coming out in 2019. So welcome, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, I need to ask a little bit about the professional tackle football before we dive into the other our other topic. How did you get involved in that, and how long have you been doing that?
Yeah, so I actually just started with them. It's my rookie season. Our season starts in April with our first game, but we've been practicing now. And I actually heard about them a few years ago when I saw them at a parade in Seattle. And that was the first time I ever realized that there was a thing such as women playing football. Mm-hmm. And I actually wanted to play with them back then, but I kind of chickened out because I wasn't physically fit or mentally ready to try something like that. Mm-hmm. And so now here I am a couple years later, and I saw their tryout information ahead of time. And so I gave myself a few months to prepare and work out and get in shape and, you know, lift weights so I can get strong enough to participate in this sport. And I made the team. And so now, you know, I'm number 29 with the Seattle Majestics.
Awesome.
I'm really excited, but it's my rookie season.
Great. And now what position are you playing?
A wide receiver and possibly cornerback as well.
Okay. Awesome. So no injuries or anything yet. I shouldn't say yet. I should not say yet. No injuries. And you're going to be and continue to be injury free.
Yes, exactly. I don't want to jinx it, but I'm hoping for that. But I do have health insurance just in case something bad happens.
Okay.
So I'm ready.
Oh, my goodness. So, okay. So let's dive into the topic that we're here for. And I do want to make sure, too, that we talk about your book, though. So let's talk, though, first about what life experience has motivated you to make your impact.
Yeah, so it's been a ton of things, really. I like to think of them as almost each life experience I had along the way as building blocks that led to where I am now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some of those were, I guess I should talk about what Girl Boss Sports is. Mm-hmm. And so we have two main goals, really. One of those is that we want to increase the number of female sports coaches. For example, with soccer in the United States, only 21% of soccer coaches are women. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it globally, it's only 7%. And so, and it's pretty across sports, the numbers are similar, or, you know, some sports worse, some slightly better, but we just really want to increase the number of women involved as coaches. Mm-hmm. And then the second goal we have is to really provide a quality experience for female soccer players. One of those ways we do that is we provide a female mentor and role model just in having a female coach for them. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing we do is we work on three areas. One of them is soccer technique, you know, like dribbling, passing, shooting, the actual how-to of soccer. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is we focus on sport-specific fitness. So what movements does your body need to be able to make to play the sport of soccer as a female athlete? And then the third one is the most important, and that's the mentality that you need to be a successful female athlete, and then also to just, you know, experience success on and off the soccer field. And so we talk about things like confidence and communication and leadership and, you know, teamwork, all of the things that there's a lot of parallels between what happens on the sports field and then what happens, you know, for example, in the workplace or in schools or, you know, whatever other setting you could think of.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, some of the life experiences that led me to the point where I wanted to create this company were, as an athlete, for example, there's one moment that just really sticks with me. When I was, you know, a very competitive athlete, I played soccer for 25 years now. I used to play in the as a semi-pro soccer player. But in one time, I had a male coach, And we were having a conversation that started out 6 feet away. But by the end of that conversation, he was an inch from my face. And I still remember all of the expletives that were shouted and the spittle that flew and hit my face. And when I turned around and walked away after we were done, the tears immediately started flowing. And then I was kicked out of practice. And that moment just really has stuck with me. And I actually quit soccer. I didn't play or touch soccer ball for an entire year. I refused to touch a soccer ball because that moment just was so impactful in my life. And when I've spoken to other women who have been involved in sports, many of us have a story like that, or something sometimes worse, maybe a little bit better sometimes. Or on the flip side, what I like to hear is when they've had maybe a really positive female role model as a coach and the impact that that had on them in the opposite way, in a very positive way. And so that's, one example I can think of that really led me to want to create this company.
Yeah, that's great. I love that you're taking that instance, and flipping it around and saying, you know what, I'm going to make a difference because I'm inspired by this. Because some people might have never picked up a soccer ball again. Well, you don't actually pick up the ball. I know. Kicked a soccer ball again. my husband wouldn't be happy with me saying that.
No.
So I should say he is a soccer player. People who are aware. So what impact have you made that really fuels your passion?
Yeah, so there's a few, examples that I think of that are really impactful for me and why I want to continue doing this work. One of my favorites, though, obviously I love helping athletes become better at soccer. That's something I definitely love doing. But what I really love to see is when goals are accomplished beyond that. For example, I was working with one athlete who was at a junior college at the time and wanted to get into a D1 or D2 school. Mm-hmm. And that moment when she got into that school and got her acceptance and helping her through that whole process of the school visits, what to expect, role playing, what kind of conversations to have with the coaches at these different colleges she was trying out for. Mm-hmm. And then that moment where she accomplished that goal was just, I was able to share that joy with her, all of the hard work she had put towards it, all of this, the time she had put into improving her skills. Or another time when I helped someone become a captain of her soccer team in high school. And just those moments really stick out to me of being able to work on things beyond the actual soccer, but the life moments too. And those are the things that keep me going.
Mm-hmm. I love too how continuously your work is impacting people's lives, not only on the field, but, in life itself and all of those key skills and that we need to just be successful. I love that you're branching, kind of using the love of soccer to ready people for life, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the biggest internal or external challenge you've had to overcome, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, so speaking of the parallels between, the lessons I learned on the soccer field and then in the workplace, one moment really sticks out in my career. I should say my primary career up until now has been as a social worker. Mm. And then my side hustle for the last 15 years has been as a soccer coach. But in one of these companies I was working for, and I had a really successful track record and had actually turned around kind of the flagship program of the company to, in the quote of one of the executive team, what was the worst shape it had ever been to the best shape it ever was. And, in 9 months was able to turn that around. And so then they said, well, can we add a second program and a third program to your responsibilities? And I took those on, same thing, it went really well. And then they brought up, okay, how about a fourth program? And so then I started thinking, well, can we start talking about salary and are we going to be compensating me more for the additional responsibilities? And I remember at the time just how scary that was. And it's still scary even thinking back on it, how many conversations I went into with, the HR director and the CEO and talking about, negotiating my salary. And then I found out I was actually getting paid unequally to two men by a significant amount. And I just remember that moment of, wow, this really does happen. This is a real thing that, I've heard about in the news that women are paid less. And here it is really happening to me. And now I have a moment to try and advocate for that. And after 4 months of battling, I was actually able to win.
Good. But then,
it was a, definitely a big celebration moment for me. But then in the aftermath, I was labeled as too assertive and not having the right temperament and was told that I was being perceived a certain way by certain senior leaders for bringing up issues like this. And those moments were definitely extremely challenging for me as a woman in the workplace. And I really had to rely on my support system and my self-care toolbox to get through that.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And as an HR professional, I hate that that still is the case. I mean, the whole, so not only, yes, are women on average paid significantly less than men, but just the different perception of a woman, you know, who is assertive, which should be a gold standard.
Exactly.
And, you know, we won't say some of the words that are used for women who are assertive and really showing great leadership.
Mm-hmm. I just remember when I was told I was too assertive, I just said something along the lines of, would you say that to a man who, mm-hmm. a man who was a leader? And it was just this moment of, I don't know.
Yeah. So you know the answer.
Exactly.
Yeah. How unfortunate. You know, and you think, like, times have to be changing, but no. Mm-hmm. Actually, it feels like it's been going backwards lately, so.
Yeah, though, good. I will say that moment, if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be where I am today, because it was mm-hmm. really the final kick I needed to, no pun intended for kick, to start this company and to basically create the company that I had always wanted to work for and now create it for myself and for, you know, the coaches that I'm actually hiring on this week. And so now I can actually do that and combine all of my favorite passions into one thing, which are leadership and sports, obviously, and women supporting women and girls supporting girls. And now I've been able to create this company that's devoted to all of my favorite things.
Amazing. I have to ask, how good did it feel bringing in your letter of resignation?
I will say it was definitely a nice moment. It was maybe a little bit too intense for them. I definitely called out what was happening there, and I sent it on to every member of the executive team, which it really felt great, but I definitely burned some bridges in the process. But it was a moment that I think needed to happen just to really make sure I called to light what was happening based on the facts that I had. So
good for you. I mean, yes, it can be scary, and you're standing up not only for you, but the future of women, you know, and hopefully they got a little food for thought, you know, hopefully it was not just like, ooh, man, I hope she doesn't take legal action or something. Like, hopefully they really sat down and thought about how they had responded in that situation. So, yeah. Good. Well, I just had to ask about that because I had to just feel so good.
Yes.
So, you know, enjoy being without me, the one who is taking on all the different projects and turning them around.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you stay motivated and moving during tough times?
Yeah, so I hinted at it a second ago, but two main things. Number one, having a good support system. So I actually just got married last year to my now husband, Adriel, who's amazing. And thank you. Definitely still a newlywedder. I feel like it. And so we've actually been together for 10 years, though. And so he's my strongest support system. And then I also have, obviously, the football team I play for and soccer teams I play for. And then one of the things I've done that I think might help some of your listeners is I created an accountability call with several of my friends. And so me and four other women, we actually have a call later tonight. And we call every single Tuesday night and we talk about our goals, we talk about our challenges, what barriers we're facing. And I remember when I was going through, you know, these type of situations, they actually role played with me how to go into these rooms and have these conversations and what words I can say that won't, you know, turn them off. And so that's been really impactful, I think, for my success. And then the second thing I would say is having a good self-care toolbox. Because the one self-care technique I thought I needed for a long time was just exercise. But then there were points in my life when that wasn't enough. And I needed to do more than that beyond my normal exercise every day to help me get through these tough times. And so things like getting enough sleep is number one. Having different ways to motivate and inspire myself. You know, Pinterest boards are great. Mm-hmm. Or I have a playlist that I listen to that has many of my favorite singers. Obviously Beyonce and Cardi B. Few others that just really pump me up and help me be the, you know, womanpreneur that I want to be. And so I just have different tools that I can call upon when I'm, you know, really struggling to work towards my goals.
Amazing. And thank you for sharing that. I was about to ask what some of the things were in your toolbox. So I appreciate that you just shared that. That is helpful. And I think that especially as women, I think so often we forget to take care of ourselves. And, you know, you can't pour from an empty, you know, vessel. It's like if we're not fueling ourselves, how can we do what we need to do in the world for others and ourselves?
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. And I love the accountability call too. That's great. That's you know, we all need our own team, and yours actually literally is a team. A lot of your support system, but that's something I honestly figured out for myself just before the beginning of this year, that I didn't have my team Kirsten in place. And I mean, I did, but I hadn't dubbed it that, and I wasn't utilizing the people who could pour into me as well. And you just have to, because when you get empty, you can't do your good work.
Exactly.
So, amazing. All right. So what words of wisdom do you have for others who want to make their impact?
Yeah. So I would say coming up with your own support system. And one of the things I also think about in regards to my support system is, who do I want to be like? Because there's that quote, and I can't remember who says it, but you become like the five people you spend the most time with.
Yeah,
and
so pretty much everyone has a quote like that. Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, Les Brown, they all have, yeah.
All of the famous people who say that. That's definitely one thing I've really taken to heart. And then I've also realized that it doesn't have to be, you know, people that I actually know. Like listening to podcasts like yours or other ones, reading books by people I want to aspire to be, those also I feel like help shape who I am today, even if they're not physical people in front of me that I actually know and have a relationship with.
That's good. And, you know, maybe they can fill in the blanks while you're working on getting that crew right around you if you don't have the most motivating people. I know. So that's like when I'm exercising in the morning, that's what I do, is I pop on YouTube videos of like Tony Robbins, Les Brown, you know, good way to start your day with all that good motivation. Although, man, it really gets your heart gone. If you're like doing your cardio and you're listening to really motivational stuff. I find I get very creative during that time too. I'll come up with podcast ideas or all kinds of stuff, and I end up like messaging myself while I'm on the elliptical.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. And the added benefit is it feels like I'm accomplishing two goals at once, because I'm, you know, feeding my body by working out, but also feeding my brain at the same time. It's like a 2-for-1 deal.
Yes. And, you know, we have to be efficient. And so that's good.
Exactly.
Yes. Awesome. Well, so tell me about this book that you're working on.
Yeah, so it's definitely about a lot of the topics that we're talking about right now, women in sports. It's going to go more into, you know, my story and some other women's stories who have experienced things that I, you know, kind of talked briefly about today. And also really focusing on the parallels that I've seen, again, on the soccer field. And now, you know, I'm sure I'm going to see some on the football field, maybe even more so, because it's, you know, much more male dominated sport. Mm-hmm. And then things that I've seen in the workplace and how to be a successful woman, both on the field or off the field. So that's what it's going to be about.
Awesome. And when you said 2019, will it be coming out?
I'm going to say end of 2019, just because there's quite a few other goals right now that I'm working on, including, you know, season is about to start for the football team, and that's more of a time commitment than I realized. Uh-huh. So I'm having to kind of push it back a little bit. So end of 2019, early 2020 is probably when it's going to be released.
Okay, awesome. Do you have a name yet or no?
I do, but I haven't copyrighted it yet, so I can't say.
Okay.
But it's a good one, I promise.
Okay, I'm sure it will be. Well, darn, I thought I'd get that little scoop. No.
I'll let you know once I do have it.
Okay, perfect. Well, so do you have any other just last minute words of inspiration, or do you want to talk a little bit more about what you're up to, recent goals, what's next for you?
Yeah, I think the one thing I would love to leave your audience with is just realize one thing I've realized is that it's okay when I'm going into new things or uncomfortable things to be scared about it. You know, for example, my first practice as a football player, I didn't realize how scared I was going to be. And I remember like putting on all my pads and my helmet, and then I just got the sweats, and it's, you know, 30 degrees here. And I was just started sweating because I was about to go into a how to tackle drill. And I will say these women are much more athletic than, you know, and stronger and bigger than I am, and have been doing this for a lot longer. And so I had this moment of like, oh my gosh, what if I just escape right now? I remembered, like, it's okay with any goal, whether that's, you know, a hard conversation I've had to enter at work, you know, my salary negotiations, for example, or whatever difficult circumstance your audience is facing. Like, it's okay to be scared, but really what it's about is having the courage to do it anyways. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've realized that really helps me is the power pose. And so if your audience doesn't know what that is, just think, you know, you can think about or Google the Fearless Girl statue. So it's, you know, your hands on your hips, opening up your chest, and just really feeling that power. And I do that usually. Yeah, it really does work. You might feel silly in the moment, but I promise you it works. And I do it either in the bathroom before I go into an important meeting for 2 minutes, usually is ideal. And I'll just stand like that, and I'll give myself in my head positive affirmations like, just remember, you're a boss, Sarah. You can do this. You are strong. You know, you, whatever you put your mind to, you can achieve. Whatever, you know, corny sayings I can think of in the moment, I do that and say them to myself. And it really does help me have that the right mindset going into that hard situation.
I love that. Because it's all about, I mean, and that darn little voice in our head that, you know, from our amygdala, our lizard brain that we can't shut off, that's always going to be like popping off with, you know, fearful words or look out, words of caution or whatever. And the only way to bust through fear is just to do the thing that you're afraid of. And if you don't, it just gets bigger. And I love that. I have not heard of that power pose before. I'm totally looking that up.
Yes, definitely.
And if I find a good picture of it, I'll put a link on the show notes for today so people can check it out.
Yeah.
Just even thinking about it makes me feel more powerful. And I don't even know if I'm visualizing it correctly, but
yeah,
the way you described it.
I have a good picture I can send to you of it if you can't find one.
Okay, that's perfect. Or, you know, if it's you in the pose, that's perfect too. I can throw that on the page.
Oh, I do have one like that. So okay. I will definitely send that.
Awesome. I think I'm going to start every day with that pose because that sounds amazing, like an amazing way to attack the day.
Yes, it definitely is. And like you said, imposter syndrome is real. And I think we all face it at some moment in our career or our lives. And so this is just one tool in my toolbox that has helped me to kind of get through those moments.
Awesome. Well, oh my gosh, you have given just a power-packed bunch of inspiration and tips that I know people can implement immediately. I'm definitely going to take some of what you shared today and implement it, including for sure that power stance, because, you know, got to go make things happen and fear cannot stop me. And I know many other people have the same. So I just want to thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing all this great information and for the great impact that you're making. I love, you know, so many people say that they're empowering women, but man, you are living it out and you have just a really inspirational story that got you to the place where you are. And I'm sure it was really uncomfortable, but I'm kind of glad that happened in your job, because now you are out and doing the world a favor with your big impact. So thank you for that. So if anyone wants to get in touch with Sarah, go to today's episode show notes, go to defeatthedrama.com, click on the podcast tab, and then go to episode 135. And again, it's girlbosssports.com. And her name is Sarah Wolfer. And hey, also check her out with her professional tackle football team, the Seattle Majestics. So thanks again, Sarah, and everyone, get out there and make your own big impact. Until next time, make it a great day.